had a few interruptions from walking through the book of Galatians, but we're gonna continue back on it today. And for those of you who weren't here for the others, I did an introduction to the book of Galatians, and then we got through a bit of I think chapter one we got through most of it, and so we're gonna kind of continue on in our journey of going through the book of Galatians. Let me just get this set up. It's working out for me. Okay. There we go. Technology, isn't it wonderful? All right. So, for those of you who weren't here yet, so we started the book of Galatians a few weeks ago, and the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, and he's writing it because there was some false teachers who are teaching that you needed to add to the gospel message that Paul already brought to them. And they called them Judaizers, right? They were saying that it's not just grace alone, by faith alone. You have to add a bit of the law in there, right? There needs to be some law. And Paul's saying, no, that is not the gospel that I preach to you, right? We have to do away with that gospel. The gospel Paul is preaching didn't come from religious leaders or from traditions. He said it came from the man, the God-man, Jesus himself, the Messiah. I shared with you the message that came straight from Jesus himself. And so Paul reminds us that the foundation of our faith must remain the same. The message of Jesus Christ, crucified on the cross, buried and risen to come bring us life in all of its abundance. It's a message from God, not from man. Amen? Right? His Spirit had to come into us. We needed that forgiveness, right? All of life teaches us that if you break the law, you have to pay the price. And we broke the law of life by going against God through Adam and Eve, and it got passed on to us. There had to have been a price that had to have been paid for that. And Jesus said, I made you, I'll do it. And so he lived the perfect life that you and I never could live. His blood was pure. His life was perfect. And he died the death that we never could, right? In the old covenant, the only sacrifice that was good for to cover your sins was an unblemished, perfect animal, right? And so Jesus was that unblemished, perfect sacrifice for us, right? And so he died and he rose again. And then the Holy Spirit, as we read in Acts, came and to live in man, right? I and my Father have come and made our home in you. As this wise pastor once said, if you change the recipe, then you will be changing the result, right? Isn't that true? When you're anybody who bakes here, who's cooked here, right? Right, I shouldn't put up my hand, I know. But you don't want my cooking. But if you change the ingredients to the recipe, you're going to change the result and the outcome of what you're going to make. And if you change the message of grace through faith in Christ, then you will lose the power of the salvation message. Right? It is no longer law. Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. It is completed and it is fulfilled. Now, Paul is shocked that these Galatian believers would trade the simplicity of grace for a distorted message that mixed faith in Christ with human effort. Right? He is the God that we don't need to add to or take away from. Amen? God doesn't need our help, right? We get to participate with him now, right? We get to participate in this life with him because he put the proper engine in us that we need to overcome this life. Amen? So this is what Paul's saying, we can't mix it. You're diluting it. It is no good. Right? We live in a time where people are still tempted to follow this other gospel that says you still need to earn God's approval. You still have to earn it. And you do that by your good work or by your personal performance. This is why so many people struggle with assurance of salvation. Right? Because it comes down to my behavior, but my behavior is not good. It is not based upon your behavior. It is based upon your birthright. Are you a son and daughter? My son and daughter, there's nothing they can do or not do, say or not say to stop making them my son or daughter. Amen? They're my kid, right? Their behavior does not change that relationship. I don't know why we think that's different with God. the behavior doesn't change the birthright. Amen? Right? But if you mix law with grace, works with the true gospel message, you now have a diluted message, and you will suffer under it because it's going to get hard because you will never measure up. Amen? Right? We all fall short. We all fall short of the glory of God. We need a God. Amen. So then Paul, remember, last time I spoke, I can't remember if it was 2 or 3 weeks ago now, but Paul used some very strong language in chapter 1, saying that whether it is man or even an angel from heaven who preaches another gospel, may they be cursed. And he said it 2 verses in a row. May they, if anybody else comes and gives you a different message other than the one that I preached to you, I don't even care if it's an angel from heaven, Paul said in chapter 1. May they be cursed, because Paul knew what Christ went through to bring the simple message of grace alone, by faith alone, that comes in Christ alone. No other. Isn't that awesome? The true gospel says Jesus did it all. Any other teaching that adds or subtracts from that truth is a counterfeit gospel. Do we got that? Any other gospel you hear that adds or subtracts from that truth is a counterfeit gospel. Then Paul shared with us his story, right? Paul goes through who he was. He was the Jew of all Jews. He did everything just right, followed the law and all the rituals and the rules and regulations. He did it just right. And so he shares with us his story. And before he met the Messiah, Jesus, he was a persecutor of the Christian church. Did you know that? Paul killed his brothers and sisters in Christ. He did not know that at the time, right? Can you imagine what it would have been like to deal with that? My goodness. He was a man zealous for traditions, and he was determined to destroy Christians and this newfound faith. But then something very radical happened to Paul. He was on the road to Damascus, and guess who met him there? His name was Saul at the time. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he met Jesus on that road, transformed him, and gave him a new life. Isn't that, that's just what he does. I'm overwhelmed. Because if you think about it, right, he was killing his brothers and sisters. And Jesus comes, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And the grace that Jesus had for him, knowing you're killing my children. But then he said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Right? My power is going to be made perfect in your weakness. For every place you could admit you're weak, I will then be your strength. And God gave him a new purpose and a new life. A couple key verses that we read in chapter 1 of Galatians, verse 15 and 16, which you know, I love this, I love pointing this out. But when God, who set me apart from birth and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me, not just to me, in me, so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. Right? Paul uses the word in Christ, Christ in me, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ, Christ in me. And I've told you 1,000 times, I think, and I will keep repeating it till it gets from here to here, right? That it's about Christ in me. Paul's trying to get his point across. We can't live it on our own. It has to be Christ in through me, right? I can't live this Christian life. There's only one person actually who's ever lived the Christian life. And his name is? Jesus, because he was the only one who can. Who can live the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5 to 7 in their own strength? Can anybody? We can't do it. We need him. He has to live it in through us. And so Paul mentions, it's his Son in me, to reveal his Son in me. I needed to hear that his Son, I needed that experience of his life in me. This is the miracle of the gospel. This is the mystery that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, is in the believer, changing us from the inside out. Anything that you try to fill you from this world is only coming from the outside in. Isn't it better to work from the inside moving out? Right? And Jesus gets the inside look. So whether it's drugs, whether it's sex, whether it's alcohol, what food, whatever it is from this world that you're using, try to fill that hole in you, will never work. In fact, if you keep looking to those things in this world to fill you, your appetite for those things will get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. But when you recognize and the revelation comes to you that he fills you full to overflowing, your appetite for the things in this world drop. Right? Remember the story of pumpkin pie that I shared? Grandma wanted me to eat it, but I ate so much I had to put on my bathrobe. And I love pumpkin pie, but I couldn't eat it. Why? Why, son? Why? But I made them fresh for you, Chatty. But Grandma, look at, you can see the food at the top of my mouth. I'm full. I can't eat it. The pie lost all of its appeal because I was full. And when you recognize that the fullness of Christ lives in you, your appetite for the things of the world will just drop naturally. It won't appeal to you because you've tasted and seen how good he is. And you won't go back, right? When you had the best thing, when you had Coke, why would you drink Pepsi? Right? Okay. All right. Paul says, the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, your only hope of glory. It is the mystery. This is the thing I want you to discover and get deeper with. His life in you. It's right here. Everywhere you go, who goes with you? Jesus. Jesus. He's right here. Everywhere I walk. Isn't that, it's amazing, isn't it? The God of the universe put his life into us. So everywhere you go, he is with you. You're never alone. You know how much that ministered to me when I traveled? I'd be gone on 2-month trips and missing my family immensely. And always wondering, God, what am I? I'm so alone. And God would remind you, what is the message I have you sharing? I'm here. You're not alone. Man, did that minister to me. It made traveling a little bit easier because I knew, hey, you're always with me. Amen. It's the mystery of the gospel. It is complete inner transformation. Anything the world has to offer you for peace, joy, and life only can come from the outside. God gets the inside view, and he'll clean up and work his way through you. Amen? And he'll take your lifetime to do it. And if God can transform Saul and make him Paul, right? Saul, who is a great enemy of the church, into Paul, one of the greatest missionaries that this world has ever seen and experienced, then I believe he can transform any heart that's here today and in our community. Do you believe that? Belief is so important. That word believe is used in the Holy Scriptures so many times. If you believe, if you'd only just believe, like one of these little ones, if you just believe. I believe. It doesn't matter to me what's happened to you, what's gone on in your life, in your past, in your present right now, and your fear of the future. I know that if God can transform the life of Saul, who killed his brothers and sisters, and make him Paul, to go love and preach to his brothers and sisters, I know he can transform your life. There is nothing that's going on in your life today that will discredit you with the Lord. Did you hear that? There is nothing you can do or say that will discredit you from the Lord. It is not your effort that gains you approval. It is Jesus' work on the cross and his effort that has made you right before God. Amen. It is the good news. That is what gospel means, good news. But some of us, frankly, we still believe that it said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life, life in all of its misery. Right? This Christian life is miserable, and it will be miserable if you're following this other gospel that Paul is preaching against. If you mix the message of grace with law, the Christian life will become very difficult and very hard for you. Because you can't do it. He has to do it through you. Amen? He has to. We must see that. Brothers and sisters, please never, ever, ever underestimate the power of God's grace to rewrite your story. Never underestimate his grace to rewrite. He can rewrite any story. He rewrote mine. I was not on a good path. If you remember my 3-Sunday testimony that you all love so much, I shared about that, right? He rewrote my story. And I'm so glad he did. Please don't underestimate that reality. All right, we preach people's salvation is by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. Can you say it with me? Here we go. Okay, we preach people's salvation by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. Okay, it's a gospel message by faith alone, through grace alone, in Christ alone. Amen. Amen. Music to my ears. That is the message we preach. Okay, so let's get on with the new stuff. Okay. That is really the time, right? That clock never got changed to really mess me up? I don't get an extra hour. Well, thanks, sister. Somebody had to say it. Okay. Okay. Are you with me? Okay. So let's just make that catching us up, right? Because we had too many interruptions from the introduction and the last one. So we're going to pick up with Galatians chapter 2 next Sunday. Okay. Did I set it up okay? Are we good? Isn't it such a cool book? I just, this letter, Martin Luther loved it because it helped him so much nail the 99 thesis to the door of the Catholic Church, saying, you guys have a whole bunch of fallacies because we don't get it through works. We get it through Christ and what he did. Isn't that good news? Isn't it wonderful that I can stand here and say to you, I don't have anything that you need, but let me be a witness to what you already have in you, right? Let me just be a witness to what you are. I don't have something that you need. Here, you need my book. You need my DVDs. No, I'm not selling that gospel. I'm here as a witness to what's already living in you if you've invited Christ into your life. And if you haven't, come see me this week. Okay, come and see me. Because that is a vitally most important thing in this life that you can live here on planet Earth. There was this wise man. He was one of the wisest in the world. I forget, his IQ was like way up there. I forget the exact number. And one of his students who loved him dear was on his bedside. And he said, teacher, could you please tell me what is the biggest golden nugget of truth that you learned here living on planet Earth? And he was very weak and he was bed because he was on his deathbed. And so he came closer to his mouth and he said, listen. He said, there's two things that are the most important that I've discovered here. One, there is a God. And two, I am not him. Don't look to me. Look to him who lives within. Amen? Okay, on that note, I really love preaching. Or I like the sound of my own voice. I'm still not sure. I just love teaching Jesus. Hey, there's no better thing to talk about, is there? Right, remember that verse in that song I told you by Frederick W. Faber? Only to sit and think of God. Oh, what joy it is to think the thought, to breathe his name. Earth has no higher bliss. Isn't that the truth? All of this life that you're living is to discover more of him, for you to move deeper in him, right? And we get to celebrate that over communion this morning. I'm going to ask the Zingers to come up and bring us some music while we do communion this morning. I really enjoyed the Zingers. Did you guys enjoy their? Yeah, it was nice, hey? Very nice. I just may have you come back. I may. I'll pray about it. Cheeky. All right. Communion, why do we do this? Why are we here? Why do we do this once a month? What's the importance of it? Well, Jesus said, remember. Right? We're in the month of Remembrance Day. Right? I've been asked to speak at the community service this year. And I said, yes, what a privilege and a blessing to talk about those who put their lives ahead of ours, right? Why do we do this? To remember what Jesus did. We'd never want to forget this, do we? Because without communion, we have no victory in this life, do we? Without remembering what Jesus did, without what he did on the cross, dying the death that we couldn't, and putting his spirit on us, there's nothing to celebrate, is there? Because we'd still be frustrated because we're still stuck in the old Adam life that was powerless, that had no victory. So we come to this communion table to celebrate this morning, right? As it says in the scriptures, for I received from the Lord what I'm now passing on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance, to remember. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant, right? This is the new gospel that Paul's preaching about in Galatians. It's a new covenant. The old covenant's gone now. Your old identity you got from the world is gone. You get to live in the new identity you now have in Christ. Amen? Right? It's gone. The new covenant has now come. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance, to remember. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, what you're doing is proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes back for us once again. Amen? Would you just bow your heads, quiet your hearts just for a second, close your eyes, and just thank God. And when you're ready, please come and line up, and we'll pass out the bread and the wine, and then we'll partake together. So hold on to it, and we'll partake together.